Right, we'll say good morning. Good morning. First of all, if anyone happens to see a red Gemara, Oz Vahadar Gemara, with the name Shmuel Silber on the inside cover, it would be greatly appreciated. I'll thank Dr. Elman, who's in Eretz Yisrael right now, for borrowing his Gemara. But if you happen to see Oz Vahadar Gemara. Okay, thank you. All right, we'll say our shir this morning is dedicated by Adam and Yudit Ben Zev, who are sponsoring the shiurim for the entire month, as well as Mr. Isaac Samuel, dedicating the shiur in memory of his beloved wife, Esther Basara Bichil, Meir HaKoni, Zichron Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have a complete and enduring aliyah. So, both sides, we have a lot to do today. Today's daf is Ayin Ches, 78. We are picking up from Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, 77b. So, both sides, more of these fascinating and riveting cases. Itmar. Both sides, we're picking up 2, 4, 6, 8 lines from the bottom. Itmar. Amr Rav Yehuda. Haiman de Kafse the Chavreir. Both sides, if a person bound his friend, he tied up his friend, Va'ashkil Ale Bidka de Maya, and he breached the water barrier. So, both sides, in this particular case, if you can imagine, is this. I guess that they call them like breakers, you know, what a barrier, a seawall that prevents the water from flowing onto land. So in this case, I tie up Reuven and I go ahead and I put him right by the seawall and I breach the seawall. So now what happens? The water comes and he drowns. So the Gemara says, Vashkele Pitka Demayo, so what's that look? Girei didehu mechayiv. So Rabbosai, it's considered to be girei didehu is an expression for it's my arrows, which means Rabbosai, it's viewed as if it's my own koach that goes ahead and causes the death of Reuven, and therefore again I am chayiv. But this says the Gemara qualifies this. Hani mi the koach rishon. Rabbosai, that's only assuming that as soon as I breached the seawall, then what? Then the water came gushing forth and killed Reuven immediately. Aval b'koach sheni. But Rabbosai, let's say I breached the seawall, but let's say it was low tide, whatever it was, so the water wasn't getting to Reuven. The water was only washing up later on. Then what? Rabbosai, then the halacha is that I am going to be putter. Why? Because that's a grama ba'alma. Ultimately, again, that simple causation. Because also, I mean, going in line with what we said yesterday, the only way I'm chayiv is if all of the ingredients that would result in Reuven's death were in effect at the time that I bound him. So the Gemara says, "Va'amar Rav Papa Zarek Tzor Lamala V'Halcha Litzdat." And it was another interesting case. I threw a stone upwards, and then what happens? So we'll say I threw a stone up, but what happens is the stone ended up going a bit sideways. V'harga. And ended up killing someone. So what's the halacha? Chayiv. So what's that? I am considered to be chayiv for that. I'm really mar barav ashkira papa. My time. Well, what's the reason for that? Mishum dekochohu. Because we'll say that stone, when it kills someone by going sideways a little bit, is considered to be my koach. So Gemara says, 1 second. E kocho. If it's considered to be my koach, tezel le'el. We'll say, 1 second. If it's my koach, then I threw it which direction? I threw it upwards. So if it's my koach, then what? It should continue to go upwards. Ayin Chesam Dalek. V'ilav, and I will say ultimately again at the end of the day, if it's not my koach, Teizel Asachas, then it should come straight down. What's the pshat with the fact that it goes sideways? Elo, koach kachoshu. Rather says the Gemara, it's my koach, but it's considered to be a quote-unquote weaker koach. Look at Rashi, what does that mean, kachoshu? So I'll say this is not considered to be a dramatic display of my strength, but rather a smaller display of my strength. What's the thing I was also highlighting over is the following. Even when you throw something straight up, generally, again, a person doesn't throw something just at a direct straight line up. There's usually some type of angle, some type of arc. Therefore, again, even if the stone doesn't follow a straight trajectory up, but ends up going to the side a little bit, that's considered to be my koach. And if the Chas HaShalom kills someone, I'm responsible for that. Second line of say, Ayin Chesem Dal, Tan Rabbanon. He koach Sarah B'nei Adam. It's a very interesting case. So we'll say, let's say 10 people, Basara Maklos, 10 people hit Reuven with 10 different sticks. Okay, so 10 people all hitting Reuven. Umes, and Reuven dies. So what's the Rabbosai? The obvious shayla in this case over here is, who is responsible? So, bein b'basachas, bein b'ze'acharzeh, whether they hit Reuven at the same time or they hit him one after the other, so what's the halacha, Rabbosai? Pturin, they are considered to be pater. We'll see why. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira omer, b'ze'acharzeh, ha'acharon chayv. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, no, if they all hit him at the same time, then they're pater. Why, Rabbosai? Why? Because we don't know who killed him. Right? Meaning you can't pin the death on any one person. However, b'zeh, but I will say, if they hit him one after the other, then what? Ha'acharon chayiv. Indeed, the last individual will be chayiv. Why? B'pnei shekirev misaso. Because I will say, the last person will be responsible for what? For hastening the death of the victim. So it could be that Reuven was drawing his last breath after the first 9 beatings. But the last guy who hit him ultimately again hastened his death, and therefore he is responsible. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, so we'll say, Sefanon and Machlok, Sitim the Rabbanon, and Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. The Rabbanon saying that if 10 people beat up a guy, whether they hit him at the same time or they hit him one after the other, they're all going to be potter. They're all going to be potter. Rabbi Huda ben Beseira says, no, if they hit him at the same time, they're potter. But if they hit him one after the other, the last guy who hit Reuven while he was still breathing is going to be chayiv. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushneim mikra echad dash. Rabbi Yochanan says they both dash in the same pasuk. What's the pasuk? V'ish kiyake kol nefesh adam. But it's actually quite interesting. The pasuk says, and if a man kiyake will strike kol nefesh adam. Now, both say kol nefesh adam literally means, the way we're going to say is, we translate it as if a man kills any other man. We're going to see there's going to be a little bit more of a creative drush over here about what kol nefesh adam means. Rabbanon savri kol nefesh adiika kol nefesh. Did Rabbanon say that you only chayev for act of bloodshed when, Rabbi Osai, when the person you are killing has his complete vitality, his kol nefesh? Rabbi Osai, what does that mean? That according to the Rabbanon, you only chayev ultimately again for killing a perfectly healthy individual? No. But what it means is if the guy has had most of the life beaten out of him already, he's not called kol nefesh. So because he's not called kol nefesh, the last guy who comes along and beats him up delivers the final blow will not be chayiv. So according to the Rabbanon, you're only chayiv for someone who is essentially kol nefesh, totally alive. In this case over here, when the 10 guys are beating up Reuven, whether they're beating him up at the same time or b'zeh achar zeh, makes no difference. By the time the 10th guy comes around, Reuven no longer satisfies the criteria of kol nefesh, therefore you're potter. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira omer savar, kol nefesh, kol duhu nefesh. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, no, what does kol nefesh mean? As long as a person has any life in him, if you kill him, you are chayiv. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, we'll say what? When the 10th guy comes along, Reuven is still breathing. Granted, very little. He's on death's door. But Lamaisa, again, as long as there's kol nefesh, any amount of life within him, you will be chayiv ultimately again for taking that life. Amar Rava, Rava says, so we'll say fundamental machlokes. Amar Rava, hakamo de bogeges a treifa shu pater. It's actually very interesting. Everyone agrees that if you kill a treifa, you're pater. Now we'll say, now what's a treifa? Look at Rashi. Modim bahore yadam as a treifa. Kigon nokif habeshet okrum hamoach. So we'll say, a treifa is someone who has some type of fatal injury or fatal circumstance in any one of the vital organs. So that's a treifa. So we'll say, if you kill a treifa, you're pater. We'll say, why if you kill a treifa, are you pater? Because the mice again, a treifa is considered to be halachically dead already. So if you kill him, you're not allowed to kill him. But if you do kill him, you're not chayiv misa for that. But gosis bidei shamayim. But we'll say, if a person, we'll say, gosis bidei shamayim, we'll say, is a person who is dying, actively dying, but he's dying, bidei shamayim means as a result of disease or something else, meaning not because of any type of wound that anyone else inflicted upon him. So everyone will, so we'll say, from a gosis bidei shamayim, that individual, because he's not a treifa, therefore he's considered to be alive, even though again we know ultimately he's going to die as a result of this disease. Therefore, if you kill him, you're chayiv. Lo nechlaku, the machloka says, ela begosis bidei adam. Let's say somebody becomes a goses bidei adam. What does that mean? Look at Rashi, right across. Goses bidei adam, kigon zeh shekarav lamos machmas hamakos, ela lo aso harishon treifa. So goses bidei adam was like the case of the Reuven who was beat up by the 10 guys. He's about to die, but again, he's not a treifa. So you could be about to die, but not a treifa. So what's the status of a goses bidei adam? Are you chayiv for killing a goses bidei adam at all? So the Gemara says, Mar medamile the treifa. So one opinion compares him ultimately to a treifa, and therefore again, you would not be chayiv for killing him. And that ultimately sounds like the Rabbanon. Umar medamile the goses, and one compares him ultimately again to a goses, in which case he would be chayiv, excuse me, the goses bidei shamayim, and ultimately one compares him to a goses bidei shamayim, which means what, Rabbanon say? You would be chayiv for killing him. Man medamile the treifa, so the one who compares this goses bidei adam to a treifa, my taima lo medami le gosis bidei shamayim. Why doesn't he compare him to a gosis bidei shamayim? So gosis bidei shamayim lo is avid be maisa. Because you'll say, what is a gosis bidei shamayim? Someone who was stricken with illness. Meaning what? Nothing was done to him. Meaning no one did anything to him. He wasn't injured by a person. So therefore again, so the Gemara says, gosis bidei shamayim lo is avid be maisa. Hi is avid be maisa. This guy, Rabbi said, the gosis bidei adam. Why is he a gosis bidei adam? Why? Because the maisa somebody beat him up. who says that he's like a goses bidei shamayim. My time alone with Damir the Trefa. Ultimately, again, why is it that he is not compared to a Trefa? So the Gemara says, Trefa mechat chisimonim. We'll say Trefa, as we said before, is someone who is injured in one of the vital organs. Ha lo mechat chisimonim. This guy, however, is not injured in one of the vital organs. Okay, so Rabbi will say, so we're still left with the fundamental machlokes in the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira about when you have a situation, again, everybody agrees that if 10 people are simultaneously beating on Reuven and he dies, that obviously everybody's potter, because you can't pin the death on any one person. The question is if they beat him up successively, right? And the last guy delivers the final blow, then Reuven dies, is the last guy chayiv or not? So the Rabbanon say no. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says yes. It seems to be the machlokes is based on how they darshan the phrase, what? Kol nefesh. Kol nefesh. So we'll say that spills over, ultimately, again, into how you deal with a goses bidei adam. So if somebody ultimately becomes a goses because of injury inflicted upon him by another person, is that person compared to a trefa, and therefore you're not chayiv for killing him, or is he compared to ultimately, again, a goses bidei shamayim, which you would be chayiv? So again, that's the machlokas we still have standing. Tani tani kami d'Rav Sheshes. V'ish kiyake kol nefesh. Lahavi amake es chavero. So we'll say, so remember again, we have to come back to that machlokas. Yeah, we'll come back to it. So it says the Gemara the following. Tani Tana Kamei Rav Sheshes. V'ish Kiyaka Kol Nefesh Adam. So we'll say the Pasuk says, if a man will go ahead and literally kill another person, Kol Nefesh Adam, Lahavi Amakes Chavero, V'in Bo Kidei L'Hamas. So what does this come to include? This comes to include the following case. I hit Reuven, but the injury that I gave Reuven was not a life-threatening injury. Uba Achar V'himis, and then Shimon comes along and kills Reuven, Shu Chayiv, that Shimon will be Chayiv, Shimon Bichayev, Ein Boka De Lahamis, Pshitas. We'll say, obviously, what's the Chiddush over here? If I give Reuven a slap on the face, bless you, I give Reuven a slap on the face, and then Shimon comes along and stabs Reuven in the heart. So you need the right to tell me that Shimon's going to be Chayev and I'm not. So the Gemara says, Ella, Yesh Boka De Lahamis, Uba Achar Behemiso, Shu Chayev. We'll say, rather, listen to this. What it means is the following. Let's say I injure Reuven in a way that could have killed him. I throw him off the roof of my house. But Baruch Hashem, Reuven has incredible siyata d'shmaya, at least for a few more minutes. And then what happens? He survives the fall. Totally fine, Baruch Hashem. Right? He lands into a car. Totally fine. And then what happens? After I throw him off the roof, Shimon comes along and stabs him in the heart. So I say, so what's the halacha? The halacha is, I am Pater, and Reuven's going to be Chayiv. I will say, all kidding aside, what it means over here is the following. I threw him off the roof, which means he should have died. He doesn't die. He's badly injured, but he doesn't die from that. Shimon then comes along and kills him. The Bryce is telling me now that what? Shimon is Chayiv Misa, and I am not. Even though I delivered a potentially fatal blow, but at the end of the day, he didn't die from what I did. He died from what Shimon did, therefore Shimon's Chayiv. And I will say, whose opinion does this reflect? This affects the view of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, because what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira say? Even if someone is compromised already, the person who delivers the final death blow, even though, again, the death process has been initiated by previously inflicted injuries, nevertheless, the person who delivers the final blow, ultimately, again, will be chayiv. Amar Rava. Hahori gets a treifa pater. So let's go back for just a moment. If a person goes and he kills a treifa, they're going to be pater. So remember again, a treifa is someone who is going to die as a result of injury to a vital organ. Right? That's the definition of a treifa. So if you kill a treifa, you're pater, as we just said before. Why? Because a treifa essentially is considered to be already dead. Utreifa, listen to this. What about if a treifa killed someone? Utreifa shaharag bifnei bezin, chayishlo bifnei bezin pater. So we'll say treifa If he killed someone in the presence of Beis Din, he's going to be chayiv. But if he killed someone outside of the presence of Beis Din, he'll be pater. My time chayiv. Dichsiv will be arat arab bekirbecha. So we'll say, listen to this. If he kills someone in front of Beis Din, he's going to be chayiv. Why? Because we'll say, interestingly enough, he's not really chayiv nisa. Why is he not chayiv nisa? Because he's considered dead already. But why do we kill him? Or be arat arab bekirbecha. Meaning, if Beis Din sees something negative occurring, Beis Din has an obligation to act. So if they see this guy killing someone, they have to put him to death. He's already considered dead. Meaning, it's not as much that he is that they're obligated to act, to carry out a legal sentence, but rather, again, there's a societal issue that's being served over here, which is Beis Din can't sit idly by while negative things are happening. So the Gemara says, Shlobifnei Beis Din, Pater, Tehavile Eidol Shiateach Alazim. I'm about to listen to this. So outside of Beis Din, they can't put him to death. Why? Because they're about to say, let's have witnesses who say, we saw the Treifa kill Reuven. They're about to say, it's an Eidol Shiateach Alazim. Ultimately, again, remember, we only accept testimony when you can make the Edom into Edom Zomimin. These witnesses can't really be made into Zomimin, why, Rabosai? Because they are testifying about a person who is already dead. I was using this principle many times. Any Edom that cannot be made into Edom Zomimin, ultimately, again, you cannot accept this Edos. Another interesting case. Let's say, again, a person goes ahead and violates a treifa. The Rabbah said, now this would be a case, ultimately, again, of Mishkav Zachar. So one man violates another. One man violates another man. But over here, the case over here is, so the person who's being violated is a treifa. Haroveh is a treifa, chayif. So I'll say, ultimately, again, a person is going to be chayif for that. We'll discuss why. Treifa Sherava. But say, let's say the treifa went ahead and violated another man. So a man who's a treifa went and violated another man. So what's the halacha? Bifnei Beis Din chayiv. So we'll say, if Beis Din witnessed this, then ultimately we'll execute the treifa. Shelo bifnei Beis Din pater. But I will say, if this happened outside of Beis Din, it's pater. First wide line, ayin chesem and aleph. So the Gemara says, bifnei Beis Din chayiv, this will be atarav mikebecha. So we'll say again, if this happened in front of Beis Din, so ultimately again, Beis Din executes him. Why? Because we'll say, same idea. Or be atarav mikebecha. Remember, is the treifa really chayiv? And the answer, of course, is no. Why? Because he's dead. He's considered to be halachically dead. But we kill him because Beis Din can't sit idly by while negative things are happening. Shelo bifnei Beis Din pater. But say second wide line, ayin chesem dalif. But if this happens outside of the purview of Beis Din, pater. But say same thing as we said before. Because this is the Eidos Shiato Yachal Azimah. These witnesses came in to Eidos Zomin. Why? Because you're testifying about someone who is already considered to be halachically dead. To which the Gemara says, Hasulam li hainuach. But say, why do I need the same case twice? In other words, we'll say case number one is where the treifa kills someone. Case number two is where the treifa violates someone. But we'll say it's the same principle. What's the same principle? If Beis Din sees him, then Beis Din will kill him. Because if it doesn't happen within the confines of Beis Din, then what? Beis Din won't kill him. So why do I need two of the same case, essentially? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Haroveya es ha-treifa tzrichalei. We'll say what we really needed was the case, ultimately, again, of someone who violates the treifa. We'll say, let's say one man violates another man who's a treifa. Right? So Reuven violates Shimon. Shimon is the treifa. What happens? Ma'u detema lehavi kaman demishamesh meis v'lifter. I'm at a third, we'll say, that violating a treifa is like violating a corpse. We'll say, what's the punishment, right? What's the halacha for someone who violates a corpse? Well, say, so the halacha is, I mean, obviously it's not good, but the maisa again, but it's not awesome. I mean, so this, he's not put to death. You're not put to death for Mishkav Zach. You're not put to death for, again, it's obviously a toiva, but, so I would have thought that violating a treifa is like violating a corpse. Kamash malon demishum hana. Bosai kamash on that. That's not true. Why, Bosai? Because part of the prohibition of Mishkav Zach will be an act of hana. And therefore, again, vaha isli hana. Even though we'll say, in a certain sense, the treifa is halachically considered dead, right now he's alive. Therefore, the man who violates him is violating a living person. I mean, there's an act of hana of Mishkav Zachar for this individual, and therefore, again, he will be chayiv for that. So we'll say, so therefore, the Gemara says, even though I don't need both cases, the novelty in this is that even though we're saying a treifa is like a dead person, yet amazingly enough, if a person violates a treifa, that's not considered like violating a corpse, which doesn't carry with it a punishment in Beis Din, but rather, again, it's considered to be like violating an alive person. Rava said, Edim she'idu b'treifa v'hozim l'bos. Listen to this. Witnesses who testified about a treifa and were made Edim Zomim. So also listen to this case. In this case over here, witnesses show up amazing. They say, we saw Reuven, who happens to be a treifa, kill Shimon. Two other witnesses come along and say, witnesses, you couldn't have seen that. Why Imanah Yusim? You were with us. Right? So they're trying to be Edim Zomim. So we'll say, what's the halacha? So they can, so in Ha'ragim. So ultimately, again, they are not killed. They're not killed. What about Edei Treifa? What about Edei Treifa Shehuzmu? So we'll say, look at Rashi says, Edei Treifa. What about witnesses themselves who are Treifa? Treifos. Right? The Edim themselves who are Treifos, then they become Edim Zomim. What's the halacha? Ne'eragim. They are killed. Ravashi says, no. Afilu Edei Treifa Shehuzmu Ne'eragim. Ravashi says, even if you have witnesses who themselves are Treifos, and what they made it to Edim Zomim, they are not killed. Why? Because the Gemara says, Ravashi, I feel that Lefi She'in B'Zomim Zomim, because I will say, again, interestingly enough, because remember, because technically speaking, if other witnesses were to come and to claim that this first set of witnesses who are treifas are Edim Zomim as well, and I will say, then that second set were proven to be Edim Zomim, you could not kill them. Why couldn't you kill them, Rabbi Hussein? Because they were testifying about witnesses who were treifos. So because ultimately, again, you can't go ahead and execute these Zomamei Zomamin, you can't execute the Zomamin as well. Va'amarav, we'll say another interesting case. Short Treifa Shark, let's listen to this. Let's say you have a short Treifa. So we'll say, what's a short Treifa? Kishmo Kenhu. A short Treifa, we'll say, is a short which is a Treifa. The short itself is a Treifa. The short has an injury in a vital organ from which it is going to die. So we'll say, let's say that short kills someone. So we'll say, in the normal circumstances, what do you do with a short that kills someone? You kill the short. So we'll say, what's that? Locha Chayiv. Short is Chayiv. B'shar shal adam treifa sharik pater. Listen to this. But let's say the ox of a person who is a treifa does damage, right, or kills someone. What's the halacha? Pater. I will say, what's the reason? My time, amakra, hashar yisakel, v'gam ba'alav yumas. The shor will be stoned, and its owners will be put to death. So we'll say, we know owners put to death is not literal, but rather again means monetary compensation. So what are we dashing? We'll say, in any case where we could put the owner to death, so karina be'a shor yisakel, then we apply that the shor is stoned. And whenever you can say that the owners will put to death, you can't stone the shor. We'll say, so what does that mean for our purposes? For our purpose, what that means is, Rabbi say, can you put the owner to death in this particular case? And the answer is no. Why? Because he's already considered dead. Rabbi say, remember, again, he's a treifa. So Rabbi say, therefore, the Gemara suggests that when the owner is a treifa, he has no shor liability. Because it's only, again, when the owner could be put to death, you know, quote unquote, that the shor could be held responsible for the act of bloodshed. But in this case, when the owner is a treifa, therefore, the mice again, you can't put the shark to death either. Ravashi Amar Afilu Shark Treifa Nami Shark Pater. Plus, he's interesting. Ravashi says even if the shark itself is a treifa and it killed, the shark is pater. So, the Marcel, my time, what's the reason? Kivan de Elu Bailim Havi Ptiri Shark Nami Pater. So, this is interesting. So, Ravashi essentially says the shark is an extension of its owner. And therefore, again, what just like if the owner was a treifa, he is not responsible for what his shor does. So too, again, if the shor is a treifa, he is also not held liable for his actions. Okay? So the Gemara goes weiter. She sabas akelv. So remember again, so the Mishnah brought down the case of Osai, the following, that if a person goes ahead and incite a snake to bite Reuven, then what? What's the halacha? The halacha is that I'm potter. But I will say, what happens if I bring the snake, I open the snake's mouth, and I put it on Reuven's hand, and it bites Reuven? So I will say, if you remember again, we had a machlokes in the Mishnah. It's right, two opinions. So, Chishach Pas Anachash, Rabbi Huda Mechayiv, Rabbi Huda says Yechayiv, and the Chachamim say you're potter. Rabbi Huda says Yechayiv, Chachamim say you're potter. So I will say, so it says the Gemara, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Kishatim Somon Div Rabbi Huda, Aras Nachash Ben Shinafu Omid, Lefichach Makish B'Saif Nachash Potter. So I will say, according to Rabbi Huda is that the venom of a snake is always in its fangs. In other words, I will say, it's always ready to come out. All it needs is what? All it needs is what? Is ultimately, again, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. That was an excellent try. So remember, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the venom is in the fangs. The venom is in the fangs. Therefore, Rabbi says, as soon as those fangs make contact, the venom comes out. So therefore, I will say, essentially, again, that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds that the person who brings the, puts the snake on Reuven's hand is going to be chayiv. So the Gemara says, on the other hand, different chachamim, aras nachash mi'atzmuhu kamaki, lefichach nachash eskev ha'akish patev. So on the other hand, the Rabbana hold, no. I will say, the venom is not inside the fangs, rather the snake has to summon it up. So because of that, again, therefore, what I will say, therefore, halacha l'maisa, the chachamim will hold, that the individual brings the snake ultimately again to Reuven is not going to be chayiv. Rather, it's the quote unquote, it's the snake that's chayiv ultimately again, and I am pater. Rabbi says, so how do we paskin? In that case, interesting enough, we paskin like the chachamim. That if I were to go ahead and bring a snake, open its mouth and put it onto Reuven, and the snake were to inject its venom, I would not be chayiv. We view that, even though again, we'll say, when, again, as I pointed out yesterday, when I say I'm not chayiv, that means in a base that I'm not chayiv. Klapei shrine the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll be chayiv. But lemaisa in a beis din, we don't view it as if I have killed the individual. Rather, again, who killed him? It was the snake. Says the Mishnah. Hamak yes chaveiro bein be'evin bein be'egrof. Supposed to listen to this case. Hamak yes chaveiro. I hit my friend. Bein be'evin bein be'egrof. Either with a stone or with my fist. Vamdua lemisa. Both say it's a very interesting case. And what happens? Now, both say, generally, after someone is injured, this is in a case where he's injured, very serious injury, but he's still alive. So, what does Beis Din do? Beis Din has a court doctor who comes and evaluates the situation on the individual. And they evaluate Vamdua lemisa. They say that Reuven is going to die as a result of the injury that I inflicted upon him. Vehekel mimashahaya. And both say, then what happens? Baruch Hashem. Reuven experiences some degree of refuah. But then he relapses and he dies. So what's the obvious question over here? The obvious question is, what's my liability? I injured him. Beis Din said he's going to die. Then Baruch Hashem got a little bit better. Then afterwards he died. So what's the halacha? Rabbi Nechemya, so the Gemara says, umeis, chayiv. So we'll say the Rabbanan say that you're chayiv. I'm chayiv. Rabbi Nechemya Omer Pater. Rabbi Nechemya says I'm Pater. Why? Shraglayim Ludavar. The Rabbi says he says Raglayim Ludavar that there's proof or there's circumstantial evidence that what? That Lamaisa, maybe Reuven didn't die as a result of the injury I inflicted upon him, but rather died because of some other circumstance. Tan Rabbanam. As do Dash Rabbi Nechemya. So Rabbi says Rabbi Nechemya dash in the following. Im Yakum Vis Halech Bachutz Al Mishanto. So let's remember again, Parshas Mishpatim, Torah is teaching me again, if I injure someone, and he recovers, Vis Halech Bachutz, and he's walking outside, Al Mishanto. They will say, Al Mishanto means, he's walking of his own strength. Of his own strength, I am Chesam Beis. V'nikar makeh. And Rabbi say, ultimately again, so I injure Reuven, I hurt Reuven, and Baruch Hashem, he has a refuah, he's able to go outside, he walks on his own, and therefore again, I am free from liability. Now we'll say, now v'nikar makeh means that I'm not put to death. Obviously, Rabbi say, I'm chayiv in other forms of damages. But l'maisa, I'm not put to death. The Gemara says, one second. V'chisala da'itcha shezem ha'alich b'shuk v'zeh nerag. Rabbi says, ask the Gemara, why does the Pasuk have to say V'nika Hamakeh? Why does the Pasuk have to say that I, the offender, right? I, the damager, am putter. What's the Havamina? I injured Reuven, and Baruch Hashem now, he's walking around outside, he's okay. So V'nika Hamakeh Torah tells you I'm not put to death. Okay. Why would we think I would be put to death? Baruch Hashem, Reuven's okay. V'chisala adaitcha shezem ha'alik b'shuk v'zeh ne'erag elo. We'll say, what's the case here? This is amazing. Third line down. What's the case here? I injured Reuven. And after I injured Reuven, Beis Din does their assessment, and they assess that Reuven is going to die from his injury. Then Baruch Hashem, Reuven experiences a recovery. And then he relapses, and he dies. What's the halacha, Rabbi? So what is the Torah coming to teach me? Shehu pater. Bosek Torah's commentation, V'nika HaMakeh, means that if at some point in time, the person who I injured gets up, walks outside of his own strength, even if subsequently he dies, I am not responsible. I know, in other words, we'll say, because why? We attribute his death to what? To some other circumstance. V'Rabbanan say, V'hai V'nika HaMakeh, my darshibe. Now, Bosek, remember again, This seems to reflect the view, ultimately, again, of Rabbi Nechemiah. So we'll say, what did the Rabbanon ultimately, again, do with this pasuk? Rabbanon, hai v'nika makam ha'darshi. But what do they do with it? Melami, Rabbos, listen to this. Shechov shenos. Rabbos, this is amazing. They understand, Rabbos, say, that what this means is, we keep the offender, the damager, incarcerated. Rabbos, say, watch this. If I go ahead and I injure someone in a way in which it looks like he may succumb to his injuries, but he's still alive. So, Rabbos, say, so what happens? I'm incarcerated. Beis Din puts me in jail. Until when, Rabbos, say? Now, the post tells me until when. Until when? Until the damaged person recovers enough that he could walk of his own strength. At that point in time, they free me. So both say, the Rabbanon Darshan V'nika Amake means they release me from jail. Rabbi Nechemiah Chavisha Minale. Where does Rabbi Nechemiah learn? Rabbi say that ultimately, again, we put a person in jail until we see what happens with the injured party. So Yalef Lebi Mekoshesh. Rabbi say, we learn that from the Mekoshesh. Rabbi say, remember again, the Mekoshesh was the individual who gathered wood, chopped and gathered wood on Shabbos in the deserts. He went ahead and he violated Shabbos, right? Befarhesia, publicly. So the pasuk says, Vayenichuba Mishmar, they put him in jail. So we learn out from here that we go ahead and you put someone in jail, that by the Mekoshesh, they didn't know what to do with him, right? So they put him in jail. So you see from here that what? When you don't know what to do with someone, what do you with them, I will say? You put them in jail. You put them in jail. So in this case over here, where I injured Reuven, and we're not sure if Reuven is going to succumb to his injuries or not, they put me in jail until he gets better. So the Gemara says, "V'rabbanan nami d'ilflam mekoshesh." So why don't the Rabbanan also learn out incarceration from the mekoshesh? To which the Gemara says, "Mekoshesh bar katalu." The mekoshesh is a different case. We'll say by the mekoshesh, it was clear that what he was going to be killed, right? So what was the issue? Umoshe lo hava yada katle b'mai. Moshe Rabbeinu just didn't know what to say. How to execute him. But it was clear that he was going to be executed. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the punishment for public violation of Shabbos was Misa. The only variable was what type of Misa. So the Gemara says, it's high, but in this case over here, Deloya Adinan Ibar Kitalahu, Ilo Bar Kitalahu. We'll say in this case over here, when I injure Reuven, we don't know am I subject to death or not. So you can't learn out incarceration from the Mekoshesh, because all the Mekoshesh teaches me about say is that if you have a case where I know someone is definitely subject to execution, but we don't know which type of execution, put him in a holding cell. That doesn't help me in this case. Rabbi Nechemiah, Yolef Megadif. Why does Rabbi Nechemiah learn out from the Megadif? Rabbi said the Megadif was the person who publicly blasphemed, publicly cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He too was put in jail. So the Gemara says, Delo Havayada Ibar Kitalu V'chavshu. Rabbi said that was the case where after he publicly cursed God, they didn't know what to do with him. They didn't know was he subject to death penalty or not. So why don't you learn an incarceration from him? Rabbanon Megadif Horas Shah Haisa. The Rabbanon say that the Megadif Rabbosai was an outlier. Horas Shah means it was an exception to the rule. Kidisanyo Yodeya Haya Moshe Rabbeinu Shamakoshesh Pemisa Shinaimar Mechala Mos Yumas. Rabbosai says the Bryce says Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Mekoshesh was Chayiv Misa. Why? Because Klal Yisrael had already been told that he who publicly violates Shabbos ultimately again is put to death. Elo Lo Haya Yodeya Be'ezo Misa Nerak. Rather, what Moshe Rabbeinu did not know, Rabbi Osei, was what? Which type of death to go ahead and execute the Mekoshesh with? Shene'emar, kilo porash, ava megadef lo ne'emar bo, ela lefarish lema pi Hashem, shelo haya Moshe yodea imhu ben misa kol ikar imlav. Rabbi Osei, ultimately, again, Moshe Rabbeinu had no idea what to do with the megadef. Was he chayib misa or not? To which, therefore, Rabbi Osei, therefore, that's why they put him in jail, to figure out what to do with him. Bishlam of the Rabbi Nechemiah, Hainu Dechsivi Trei Umdini. So I will say, ultimately again, now I know according to Rabbi Nechemiah, I will say, why ultimately again, you need to, now I will say, Trei Umdini. If you take a look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says over here, Bishlam of the Rabbi Nechemiah, the Amar, V'nika Hamake La'amdua L'misa, V'hakel, V'chazer V'hechved, Asa, Dechsivi Trei Kra Yisrael Umdini. So the Torah speaks about this idea of evaluating someone. This idea that if someone is injured in some type of life-threatening way, that we evaluate ultimately, that we evaluate, is the person going to die from his wounds or not? And apparently, again, we keep the offender incarcerated until we see what's going to happen. So as according to Rabbi Nechemiah, I understand why the Torah speaks about this evaluation twice. Trei umdini, I understand why it speaks about this evaluation twice. Chant amdu ala misa, v'chaya, v'chad amdu ala misa, because we'll say there are two cases. Case number one, I will say, is where Beis Din assessed that the individual, they assessed that Reuven, I injured Reuven, they assessed that Reuven is going to die. And in fact, what happens? He lives. He lives. Right? Baruch Hashem. Second case, V'chadam du'ol ha'misa, V'hakel mimash shayon. I will say, the second case was where they assessed him ultimately again to die. And Baruch Hashem, his situation has improved a bit. Elul Rabbanan Trei Umdini Lamali. But I will say, according to Rabbanan, why did the Zohar have to discuss two cases of evaluations? Listen to this. Chad Amdua Lamisa V'chayah. I will say, one case is where Beis Din assessed that the individual is going to die, and Baruch Hashem he recovered. V'chad Amdua L'chayim Umeis. Ooh. I will say, watch this. One case was just the opposite. I injured Reuven. Beis Din says he's going to be fine. And then what happens? He dies. So I'll say, so what do you do with that? Rabbi Nechemiah, I'll say, this is a fascinating case. Rabbi Nechemiah, Amdul Lechaim Umeis, Lotzarech Kra. Let's listen to this. Rabbi Nechemiah says, that's not a case. Where Beis Din assess that he's going to live and then he dies. You don't need a pasuk to teach me what to do with that case. Why not? Rabbi Osai, Shar Yatsa mi Beis Din Zakai. Because Rabbi Osai, remember again, the moment that the court doctor says to Reuven, what? Everything's going to be okay. Where am I? Right, I'm running out of Beis Din as quickly as I can. And again, rightfully so. And once I leave Beis Din innocent, in other words, when I say innocent, I'm still chayav for damages to Reuven. But at the end of the day, once the court has assessed that Reuven is going to live, therefore, again, what Rabbi say, I no longer have any liability. And even if Reuven dies the next day, I am scot-free. Again, Rabbi say, from dinei nefashos, dinei mamonis, monetary law, damages, of course I owe him. Rabbi say, first, why line ayin ches on the base? Turn Rabbanon. Hamakes chaver v'amdu l'misa. Was listen to this. So I injured Reuven. Beis Din assessed that he's going to die. And Baruch Hashem, he lives. He lives. So what happens? Potrin also. So ultimately, again, Beis Din patters me. Once Beis Din assesses that he's going to live, I will say, then what? Then I, the damager, the offender, and patter. Amdu l'misa v'haka mimash shahaya. But say, listen to this. So let's say the following case. I injure Reuven. Beis Din evaluates him. And they say he's going to die. Then what happens? They see an improvement in his situation. Omdim osa omad sheni. Right? So we'll say, what do? We go ahead and we evaluate him again. Lamamo. So as we'll say, we evaluate him again, and this time we see what we'll say. This time again, we assume that the capital case is closed. It's no longer about a capital case. Rather, what is this about? This is about damages. Ve'im la'achar kein hichbidu meis. And we'll say, what happens if after, again, they evaluated him the second time? So we'll say, remember again, I injured Reuven, they evaluate him. First time they evaluate him is that what? He's going to die, okay? Then Baruch Hashem gets a little bit better. Then they say, okay, he's not going to die. This is no longer a capital case. You close out the capital case. So we'll say, what is this? This is a damages case. So we now begin to evaluate for damages. After they do the evaluation for damages, what happens, Rabbi Osai? Reuven dies. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Holich achar omeid, Aloch achad omer hamzoyder Rabbi Nechemiah. So Rabbi Nechemiah says, we go after the second evaluation. In other words, we'll say that we assume that this is no longer a capital case. Rather, what is this? This is a financial case. And even though Reuven subsequently dies, we don't attribute Reuven's death ultimately again to me, but rather again, we attribute it to other circumstances. The Chacham say, no, ein omed achar omed. We'll say, this is amazing. The Chacham say, the only valuation we pay attention to, evaluation, we pay attention to Rabbosai is what? The first one. Therefore, again, says the Chachamim, this is a capital case. Because when this first happened, Beis Din's doctors, right, evaluated Reuven, and what did they say? Reuven's going to die. Rabbosai, therefore, again, the fact that Reuven got a little bit better afterwards, Baruch Hashem, but at the end of the day, when he dies, we attribute his death to the injuries. Rabbosai, obviously, there are exceptions in this case. If I injure Reuven, right, and the Beis Din says he's about to die, and then he goes ahead and he gets a little bit better, he decides, you know, he takes his first steps outside of his home, and he gets hit by a bus. So I'm going to say, obviously, again, I'm not chayiv for that. Because, again, we're not going to attribute the cause of death to me, unless I was driving the bus. Right? But I'm going to say, again, so understand that, so, but that's not the case we're talking about. So I'm going to say, this, you understand about it, this is a sadistic machlokes. So again, I injured Reuven, Beis Din's valuation, evaluation is going to die. He gets a little bit better. Now, so now we say, okay, let's assess for damages. Then he dies. Rabbi Nechemiah says, we look at the second evaluation. This is no longer a capital case. I owe money. The Rabbanan say, no, there's no such thing as second evaluations. We look at the first one, and therefore what? I am going to be chayv ultimately again for a capital case. Tanya Yidach, there's another price that supports this. Amdullah Misa, if they evaluated him, they said that he's going to die. Omdin Oso L'chaim. So ultimately, again, we go ahead and, actually we'll stop over here by this Tanya Yidach. We'll pick up Emir Tzashem here tomorrow. So also, I'm leaving you a little bit on a cliffhanger. We'll close up Emir Tzashem. We'll close out this sukkah tomorrow, and we'll pick up from the Mishnah. Shbayach.